Thank you, nephew. Niki Gahi, Red Cloud. Thank you for allowing us to speak, you know, and to learn from you. Appreciate your wisdom and the words that you say. You know, we understand action means to move ahead, and we're going to do our best to listen to your wisdom and understand that. Various Nudahanga that are here, Tupac, Nudahanga Carter, Nudahanga Debbie White Plume, my companion, other elders, Nudahanga Carrie Grant, Carrie Dan, who is here, and those of you who are listening, I'm sitting over here. I represent the Women's Society of the Ponca Nation of Oklahoma. Judy Ajiji Adia Ponkwau. Judy is my Ponca name. Casey is what my older brothers have called me all my life, so I answer to that now. But there's an example among the Ponca people that maybe I could tell you about. Miss White Plume had asked me if we had a treaty council there in Oklahoma. And I told her that we're in the process of forming this. You know, my brother Carter has been down there organizing, and my family has worked their best within the organizations there. We are comprised of 37 different nations in Oklahoma. All of us, but three, as a result of forced removals. All of us, but three, as a result of forced removals. You know, the Cherokee, they have their Trail of Tears, and it's well spoken of, and people know about that. All of us have those. Every one of the tribes there have those. So we have little problems with our organization because we have the Oneida from New York and all of the Seneca and those folks from that part of the country that were forcibly removed to Oklahoma. This was supposed to become Indian territory. Of course, that was a lie as well. We have the people from the southeast, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Seminole, and many other nations down from that part of the country that are in the southeast part of Oklahoma. We have those in the southwest part down there. Some of them are of the three indigenous peoples, the Caddo, the Wichita, and the Comanche. And the rest are there from a process of forced removals. We have those in western Oklahoma, same way. We have those in the northwestern Oklahoma, same way. We have those of us in north central Oklahoma, the Ponca. We're from Nebraska. You call it Nebraska down there. Nebraska means water that is flat. We come from that area where the water's table is way up there, Nebraska. Among us was the Omaha, or the Omaha, the Kanzi, what you call the Ka, the Quapaw, which was from the Arkansas, and I'm forgetting one of my own relatives, but there's only five nations there, and we're all, the Osage, the Wajaji, we're all from different areas, and we're forcibly put into that area. Sometime after we were put down there, and we knew who we are, we're the Ponca. We're the sacred head of these five peoples. We know where we came from. We know what star constellation that our people know. We know where we go, that circle in the sky, when we go back there, you know. We've always known these things. And yet people came with superior arms at a time that we had made treaties with them in 1854, and we'd made treaties with them in 1868, where they made us fight with our relatives, the Lakota, because we were trying to retain a small area of land where we could eat and put our teepees up. So in the middle of the night, they came with their superior arms, and they herded us up. They moved us down to Oklahoma. One-third of my people died on that trip. One-third of my people died once we got down there because they took away our buffalo, they took away our way of life, they took away the place that we grew. And so at that time, we became imprisoned on what was called a reservation. We call it a POW camp. It was a place for us to die, that's all. They opened it for a land rent after that. While we were sitting down there trying to regain our health and our well-being and to live again, which, thank God, my own grandfather was 8 years old on that walk, and he survived for us so that we could be here. My great-grandparents made that walk down there, and it was in the middle of the winter, but they made it. They starved, they sacrificed so that we might live. After we got down there, they still wanted more of our land. They wanted us to adopt their ways. But meanwhile, one of our chiefs, his name was Standing Bear, decided, because he'd made a promise to his young son that when he died, that the young man was dying on the trip, and the daughters had already died. We couldn't even stop on the way to put our children back to the earth. We were people that put our people on scaffolds, but they wouldn't let Indians be on their land on the way down there. So my auntie, she carried her brother on her back across Kansas and Nebraska into Oklahoma. And he was dead at the time, but that's how we revered our people. She was a young girl. She never got over that. This Chief Standing Bear, his son died down there, and he'd made a promise to his son to bury him among the ancestors in Nebraska. 37 people from our reservation escaped in the middle of the night, and they made their way back to Nebraska. And they were captured by the army there because we weren't allowed to leave that reservation. When they were captured by the army, they were among the Omaha, which was our relatives. We were tied to them by blood and by language and by kinship, and the Omaha took them in. They took them from the Omaha as well, and they put them in prison. And some good lawyers came along that saw the plight of these people, and they said, "We're going to help you. There is a way through the Constitution that human beings have a right in America to exercise their constitutional rights to live where they choose to." Come to find out at that time, we weren't human beings under the eyes of the law. And so the lawyers had to establish a writ of habeas corpus to bring Standing Bear to trial in order, I think I'm saying this correctly, in order for him to be able to be a human being under the eyes of the law. This was in the late 1870s. And so they established a court case there in that part of the country to allow the first native person to be called a human being. Well, this was a double-edged sword. We didn't know that. Standing Bear didn't know that. He only spoke Ponca. He didn't know the English language, but yet he wanted to have his son buried among his own people. To me, this is a perfect example of what you're talking about, this papal bull. And I'd like, we don't call it bullshit here, I guess, but that's, you know, maybe the way we ought to be calling it, because that's what it was and that's what it did to my people. So when Standing Bear, he came up there and he was dressed as Nikagahi. He had on his headdress. He had on his tribal regalia. And the people, there's the PBS has done a documentary about this. And we have a hard time with this story, my brothers and I, because in one way we feel bad because our chief left us and went away. In another way, we understand he needed to bring his son home. So we have this understanding. So this law was established, and it's worked against us ever since, that Standing Bear was declared a human under the eyes of the white law, under the Constitution, that he could leave Oklahoma and live up there. And at the same time, in order to have that so-called privilege to be a human being under white law, under white constitution, instead of the Ponca way, he had to agree to never speak Ponca. He had to agree to never see his people ever again. He had to agree to never go among red nations again. And they put him and his descendants on an island in the middle of the Niobrara River. And those descendants had to grow up not knowing who they are. And in 1972, they started to want to be reestablished as Ponca people. And so they had to go back under the white law. They had to go back and try to ask if they could be Indian again, if they could be Ponca again, go through an act of Congress to arrive there. And at this time, they don't know their language, they don't know their songs, they don't know their dances, they don't know their relatives, as the rest of us do, even though we had to go through this forced removal and be in that part of the world. So I'm saying, that on behalf of my ancestors who have already suffered and have been the example for what this papal bullshit has caused to us, that there's no more waiting, that time has already passed. Had Standing Bear known what they were doing to him and to his descendants at that time, he was a good, strong chief. He would not have allowed it, but they told him in a language he didn't understand. We understand. We speak their language. We speak our language. We know ourselves. We don't need anybody defining us ever again in any way. Judy, Bonkawa'u, Shang.